Well, good evening, church family. Welcome to our midweek prayer and Bible study meeting. Before we go to prayer, let's take a few moments to study the Word of God and study the subject of prayer from 1 Timothy chapter 2. If you would please turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'd like for us to read verses 1 to 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. In verse 1 it reads, I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, we ask now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit as we spend these few moments within your precious word. And please, O God in heaven, prepare our hearts for prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Note here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, the word therefore. And whenever you read the word therefore, we need to ask the question, why is it there? Well, if you go back to chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, the last couple of verses, the Apostle Paul encourages young Timothy to war a good warfare. Note there in verse 18, the last part of that verse reads, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. So how can you and I war a good warfare? Be worthy soldiers of Jesus Christ. One means is by being people of prayer. And therefore, here in verse number 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes, I exhort. The word exhort there means to encourage, to strongly urge. I beg you, I beseech you, church family, I beg you, I beseech you, young Timothy, to make supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. So the Apostle Paul encourages young Timothy to war a good warfare. So because we are in a spiritual warfare, we need to be people of prayer. This needs to be a priority. Note then verse number 1 once again. The Apostle Paul writes, I exhort, I encourage, I beseech, I beg of you, first of all. Note that little phrase there, first of all. It should be our priority. This is our priority. If we are to war a good warfare, we need to be people of prayer. Now think back to Ephesians chapter 6. The armor of God. The armor of God is complete with the phrase, praying always with all prayer and supplication. So church family, as we consider the issue of being in a spiritual battle, and the Bible exhorts us to war a good warfare, we need to make it a priority to be men and women of prayer. I exhort therefore that first of all, this needs to be a priority, Timothy, because we are in a spiritual warfare. At the end of chapter 1, the Apostle Paul makes reference to two individuals that unfortunately have worked contrary to the work of God. So, beloved, this evening, as we prepare our hearts for prayer, let me encourage you not to take prayer lightly. It is our priority, first of all, and we need to be mindful that as we pray, we are in a battle and we are warring a good fight for Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul said to young Timothy, by them mightest war a good warfare. Back in chapter 1, verse number 18. So prayer needs to be a priority. Now note here in verse number 1 of chapter 2, some particular elements in relation to prayer. Note the word supplications. The word supplications here, in the plural, is in reference to specific requests. That is generally the usage of the word. Whenever the word supplication is mentioned, it's referring to a specific request. I.e., I trust that we are praying that we can, before the Lord Jesus comes back, I trust that we are praying that we can assemble as a church family once again, bodily, one with another. Supplications. And then note the next word, prayers. This is a general word that conveys the idea of you and I praying generally in the context of worship. Communion, praise for God, supplications, making specific requests, and also prayers, a general word in relation to communion with God, and it's predominantly used in the context of worship. In other words, I praise God for His holiness. I praise God for His mercy. I praise God for His loving kindness towards you and I. And then note there in verse number one, once again, the word intercessions. To intercede means to pray on the behalf of another. And this is where we pray for the specific needs of one another, where I intercede for your need, you intercede for my need. The need of salvation. A person is not well. A specific need of some sort. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Note that each of these are in the plural tense. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Expressing gratitude for what we have, as opposed to grumbling over what we do not have. We should thank God that we have life and breath. I was thinking only today we should thank God that we are a lone continent and we are situated south, south, south. We ought to praise God for that very fact. So we need to give thanks. We need to intercede for one another. We need to worship our God as we pray. And we need to make supplications one for another. Now the Bible teaches us in the book of Romans chapter 8 verses 26 and 27 that the Holy Spirit of God enables us to pray. He helps us to pray as we ought. Now note there at the end of verse number 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 2 that we are to make supplications, pray, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. All men. No exclusions. Our friends, our foes, all men. We are to pray for all men. The old man extends to everyone that you and I are in contact with within God's providence. Now, we don't know everybody in the world, but we know a few people in the world. And I am responsible to make prayers. I'm to pray for all men. And then we move into verse number 2, and we note that God is a little bit more specific concerning the all men. Note then verse 2, for kings, those that have sovereign or high authority. We need to pray, in other words, for our leaders. We need to pray for our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison. Thank God that he claims to know Jesus Christ as Savior. We need to pray for him. Even if he didn't claim to know Christ as Savior, we should still pray for him, because he fulfills the role of our Prime Minister. So we need to pray for our Prime Minister. We need to pray for our Premier. We need to pray for our Premier. That God will give them wisdom in leading us as a people. We're to pray for kings. And then also note then verse number 2, for all that are in authority. The Bible here makes a distinction. We are to pray for our kings, those that have sovereign authority over us, but also we are to pray, the Bible teaches, for all that are in authority. God has his chain of delegated authority. We have authority within the context of the church, authority within the context of the home. We have authority in the context of the workplace, civil government. The Bible teaches us we are to pray for all those that are in authority over us. We are to pray for them specifically. We are to pray for all men. Now note there at the end of verse 1, all men specifically. We are to pray for our pastor. We are to pray for our boss at work. We are to pray for those individuals that have authority over us. We are to pray for all men. This is how we can war a good warfare, child of God, by praying one for another, making supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and that includes those that have sovereign authority. Our Prime Minister, our Premier, our Prime Minister and his Cabinet, and also for all that are in authority. We need to pray for them. But also note then verse number 2. In warring a good warfare, you and I need to be people of prayer. We are encouraged to pray. We are encouraged to pray for all men. We are encouraged to pray for all men first of all. It needs to be a priority. But also note in verse number 2, what should accompany a life of prayer? What also is a part of warring a good warfare? In verse number 2, we are told to pray for our kings, our sovereign authorities. We are to pray for all that are in authority. And now note in verse number 2, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So in other words, as you and I remain under authority, we pray for our authority, and as we remain under authority, we are to do as the Bible teaches. We are to lead first and foremost a quiet life, then a peaceable life with all godliness and honesty. What does it mean to live a quiet life? The Bible talks about a godly woman having a meek and quiet spirit. Well, that's obviously in reference to submission, humility. So for you and I to lead a quiet life before those that are our authorities, it's simply teaching you and I that as we pray for our kings, as we pray for all men, as we pray for those in authority over us, that we will lead a quiet life. In other words, I will endeavor to be a law-abiding citizen within my community. A quiet life. In other words, I will humbly and graciously and meekly come under authority. We refer to that as being a law-abiding citizen, do we not? A quiet life. But also note then verse 2, and peaceable, a peaceable life. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. A peaceful life. Not only a law-abiding citizen within my community, as I pray for those in authority over me, I pray for all men, but also I am to lead a peaceable life. I'm not to be argumentative and disturbing. I'm not to be loud and bombastic. I am not to be one that is always wanting to challenge those in authority. No, I am to lead a quiet life, a peaceable life. And you and I can lead a peaceable life for those of us that have been justified by faith in Jesus Christ because we have peace with God. And if you and I genuinely have peace with God, we can have the peace of God and therefore we can lead a peaceable life. That's why there is such a lack of peace in the world today. That's why people are at odds one with another, because they do not have the peace of God, because they've not been reconciled and they do not experience peace with God. But for those of us that have the peace of God, we can live a peaceable life. And then it goes on to say in verse number 2, lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. What does it mean to be godly? Godly, or to be like God. We cannot be Christ, but we can certainly imitate Christ's likeness. Take a moment and turn with me to the book of Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Let's look at verse number 11 and 12. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So the Bible teaches us that we are to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. In other words, to live out the Christ life. We cannot be Christ, but we can look upon Christ and note the qualities of our Savior spelled out very clearly in the Gospels, and we can seek to reflect those same attributes. Just like we see within the Gospels that Jesus Christ was forgiving. You and I can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness by being forgiving one towards another. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it ends with the word honesty, integrity, being blameless, in other words, as opposed to being known as a thief or a cheat or double tongue. We are to live a life of integrity. So we are to pray for all men, church family. We are to pray for our kings, those that have sovereign rule over us. We are to pray for all that are in authority. And as we pray and as we remain under authority, we are to lead a quiet life. We are to be law-abiding citizens. We are to be peaceable as opposed to rebellious or argumentative. We are to reflect godliness. The life of Christ should flow from us. And we are to live in honesty, blameless, with integrity. And then note then verse number 3, for this is good. This is good. Of course it's good. What does the word good here mean? It means beneficial. You and I will benefit if we pray and we live out godliness and honesty. For this is good. And then note the next word, and what? Acceptable, pleasing in the sight of God our Saviour. So the Bible teaches us if you and I will make it a priority to pray, and if you and I will make it a priority to remain under authority, those authority figures within our lives, if we remain under authority, we lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. The Bible teaches us this is good, we will benefit, and the Bible also teaches us this is acceptable. God is well pleased. God is well pleased. Then let me close with verse number 4. Who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Let me conclude by saying, at the end of verse 1, it makes reference that prayer needs to be made for all men. But note in verse 4 that God our Saviour, in verse number 3, who will have all men to be saved. So if you and I, if we are diligent to pray and to live out the Christ life, the will of God the Father is that all men be saved. My friend, we are in a spiritual battle. And the Bible teaches us that we are to war a good warfare. So how can we war a good warfare? By taking seriously the charge to pray. And to take seriously the charge to, in remaining under those authorities in my life, I will live out the Christ life, that they might come to a knowledge of the truth. Who? All men. See, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the battle that we are in at the moment, it's a spiritual battle. It's the battle for souls. And may God help us to be an effective witness for Jesus Christ by praying and declaring truth out of a life that reflects godliness and honesty. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word, and thank you for the encouragement to pray, to war a good warfare in prayer, and by praying one for another, especially for those in authority over us. Oh God, help us to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, that all men might come to a knowledge of the truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.